Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
There are going to be a few words that I want to pick out here in this passage of Scripture. I want you to look at the word vision. You know, this passage of Scripture, a vision is a little more than just seeing with your eye. In the Hebrew word, this word vision means a sight mentally, a dream, a revelation, an oracle, or a vision. And this is talking about something being given insight to what God would have done. Now, we no longer are guided by or even given dreams or supernatural visions. God doesn't need to speak to you and me in dreams or in visions. When I say visions, I'm talking about someone appearing at the end of my bed. God doesn't do that anymore, and there's one really good reason why. Because he has given us the complete canon of Scripture. Back in Proverbs, Solomon did not have the complete canon of Scripture. It hadn't been fulfilled yet. We hadn't had Revelation written. Several books hadn't been written yet. They had the law, the first five books of the Bible, but several books of the Bible hadn't been written yet, so it wasn't complete. And so God did, at times, appear in vision that we're talking about, a vision or a dream. You remember Daniel? One of the pharaohs had a vision or a dream, and God told Daniel what it meant. Joseph had a dream. God was giving Joseph a vision of the future. Now, we don't have those today. You say, well, I had a dream the other day, and it came to fruition. Well, you know, that wasn't necessarily God revealing you the future. Congratulations. Your dream was right. Doesn't mean that it was spooky or eerie or supernatural. But I do believe that God does give you and me vision. What I mean by that is direction from him. There is a difference in dream and vision. I have many dreams. I would love to see certain things happen. I would love to see certain things happen with my family. I would love to see certain things happen with my health. I would love to see certain things happen with this church. I would love to see certain things happen with this community. I would love to see certain things happen with our country. I would love to see certain things happen with our world. I would love to see certain things. I have dreams of things being accomplished, but that does not mean it's a vision. That means it's something that I would like to see done. However, it may not be what God wants to see done. But a vision, that's different. A vision is when God reveals something to us that he is going to do. I have not been shy about talking about certain things. I won't mention it in public, but I had been praying for a certain thing from God for probably 2 years. And then one morning when I was praying, God came along and whispered in my ear, not verbally, but just spoke to my heart, just kind of breathed a sense of peace and assurance. And he said, Nathan, it's yours. So from that point on, I haven't been praying for something. I've been praying for God to fulfill the promise of something. And one day, that will come to fruition. That's not an idea. That's not me desiring something and wanting something. That's God giving me a promise that he's going to do it. A certainty. There is a difference between a vision and a prayer and a dream. And I want you to know that where there is no vision, the people perish. There's nothing wrong with dreaming of a nicer house or a better car, maybe dreaming about a better health or something like that. Some of these things can be produced by hard work or hard labor. You work hard enough, you can accomplish many things. But is it what God wants for you? See, that's a dream. A dream is something that you want for you, and a vision is something that God wants for you. God does give vision. We have been blessed to see some of those visions completed since I've been here in 3.5 years. There are some things that God laid on my heart when I first came here, and it's not spooky, eerie. It's not something that I could see, but it's something I could see. I just knew that this is what God wanted. It was awkward. It was weird. Maybe I was the only one that saw it, but God said, "This is what we're going to do." And do you know what? I thought that would have been a part of my 5-year plan, and God did it in 1 year. It was really remarkable. It was really remarkable. And God wants us to do things, and God wants us to have direction. There's no doubt about it. The difference between a dream and a vision, I suppose, is a dream is what you want, and a vision is what He wants for you. Now, please understand that a vision will never contradict the Word of God. Never contradict the Word of God. That means God's Word is the foundation. A vision will never take away from the Word of God. That means God's Word is final. And a vision will always take faith, and we take God at His Word by faith. But this word vision here is basically talking about preaching. Where there is no proclamation or preaching of God's Word, there is no vision. Vision would be the instruction of God's truth. So what about a vision? Well, let me tell you what we do not have vision today like we did in Proverbs or in the Old Testament. We don't have vision like that. But we do have God's Word. And we can read God's Word. And God will enlighten you by the Holy Spirit through God's Word. There are times where you'll read something, it will make no sense to you, and you're just reading through your Bible, and it doesn't pop out on the page, and it doesn't really give you anything. You're just reading it because you're being faithful at reading. And then one day, you'll read that same passage of Scripture, and it will become alive to you. It will be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. It will help you through a very difficult trial or a dark time. That's what God is doing through the Word of God. He is opening your eyes, my eyes, as we read through Scripture. I want you to know that God will use the Word of God. You know, if there is no preaching, if there is no proclamation, there is a problem. If there is no longer God meeting with us and speaking to our hearts, there's a problem. Where there is no proclamation of the Word of God, where there is no preaching, there's a problem. A vision is from God. So God is going to use His holy word to help direct you and me. And folks, what we find in Scripture, you can take to the bank because God is not going to ever let His word ring false. I'm saved, not because I feel like it, not because I want to be, and not because I deserve to be. I am saved because God said so. That's it. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I was a young boy, I called upon the name of the Lord, and I'm going to heaven not because of that. I'm going to heaven because God said so because of that. I take God at His word. And if you can take God at His word at the fundamental truths of salvation, you can take God at His word for the other things as well. The promises that He promises in Scripture, you can take Him at His word. You know, I keep going back to this, but because it was just a unique experience to have Brother Otto Koning with us. And Otto Koning said he was walking through the jungles and the demons screaming at him. He fell into the swamp, remember? And he didn't know what to do. He was scared. The demons were screaming at him, and he didn't know what to do. And the passage of Scripture, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." How do you do that? So he said, I resist you in the name of Jesus, and you must flee. And the screaming stopped. Why? Because God said, if you resist the devil, didn't say he might flee from you, he will flee from you. You say, I don't know if that's true or not. It doesn't matter if you know it's true or not. God said it, that's final. So when I resist the devil, I know that he's not around anymore. You say, what do you mean you know he's not around? Because the Bible says so. I can't see him, but I know he's not around. Why? Because God said, if you, he will. I can take God at his word. You can take God at his word. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, you're sitting there in bed in the hospital and you're sick and you're scared and you don't know what the answer is and you don't know if you're going to make it or not. And you're like, oh, I don't know if God's with me. I'm afraid. I want you to know he is with you. You say, but I don't feel him. You don't need to feel him. You know he's there because he said he would be. You can take God at his word. Too many of us are looking for feeling. We're looking for emotion. We're looking for something. Oh, dear God, if I could just see you, if you would just appear to me for a second, I'll tell nobody. I just need to see that you are there. And he doesn't reveal himself. And people are like, well, I guess God didn't answer that prayer. He's not going to do that. He says that we walk by faith and not by sight. There are so many wonderful truths in Scripture. And you can take every one of them to the bank. Where you and I stop believing the Bible, when we stop and have no vision, we've got a problem. Now, the problem with many of us, it might not be that we don't necessarily not believe the Bible. It might be just a simple fact that we don't read it. How can you know what something says if you don't read it? I mean, a lot of us will do that, right? We'll sit there and we'll say, here's what the Constitution says. And then when you press them in the corner, have you ever read the Constitution? Well, not all of it. But how do you know what it says? Well, this newspaper article said this. Where did you read that at, Facebook? Did you read the newspaper? No. But it's on Facebook, and so somebody read it. You know, my dad used to say this, never enter a battle of wits unarmed. A lot of people want to get into scriptural debate, and they don't even read the Bible. There's a problem with that. The greater problem is there's a lot of believers that aren't reading the Bible. This is the vision we're talking about. I'm not talking about something supernatural or mystical. I do believe that God does lead on our hearts and give us vision for things. I do believe that. I do believe that God leads me and directs me for this church and for my family. And I believe that God leads you and directs you for your family as well and for things that you're involved in. I believe that. I believe that you can be praying about something and saying, dear God, this is what I want to do. Is this what you want me to do? And he'll say, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this instead. And all of a sudden, you'll get this yearning, this burden to go over here, or this burden to speak to this person, or this burden to write this letter, or this burden to make this phone call. That's the vision that God does do. I do believe that. And I want you to remember, it'll never go contrary to against God. I've heard people say, I've heard people telling preachers this, that a man had said, well, God told me to divorce my wife. Wrong. Wrong. God did not tell you to divorce. Maybe your God told you to divorce your wife, but not the God of the Bible told you to divorce your wife, because that goes contrary to Scripture. So any vision or thing that you think that you may have, if it goes contrary to Scripture, you can throw it out the window because it's false. Every time, even if it sounds good. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, it is never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. And you and I, we need to understand that the Bible is our final authority. And so many believers, we do not read the Word of God. We don't read it. We pretend we read it. We come to church thinking that other people think we read it. But you know, you and I, we know when we read it and we don't. Don't answer. But how many days did you let go past last week without reading the Bible? Not that you did read the Bible at least once or twice. How many days last week did you go by without reading the Bible? I'm not trying to be harsh. And we call ourselves Christian. Probably one of the most hypocritical statements that we could call ourselves. You know, a Christian doesn't mean that you're saved. Now, every Christian is a saved person, by all means. But not every saved person is a Christian. The word Christian means little Christ or like Christ. And there's a lot of times that we don't act like Christ. But we should always act like Christ. It's a great compliment. It used to be a badge of dishonor, but it was a great, they used the word Christian back in Antioch. It was a derogatory term. Look at those Christ followers. Look at those little Christs. We just crucified their Christ and their little Christ. It was a degrading badge of honor that the Christians said, yes, we are little Christ and we're proud of it. Little Christians or Christ-likeness does not necessarily, not everybody that's saved acts like Christ. Everybody that's acting like Christ is saved, I'm sure. Everybody that's a Christian would be saved. But not everybody that's saved acts like Christ. And there are times in my life, I got to be honest with you, I don't act like Christ. There are times that I do. I try to keep short accounts with God. I try to go to Him and say, dear God, is there anything in my heart, my life that is unpleasing to you? And am I offensive to you? Am I hurting you? Am I doing something wrong that you don't want me to do? Please forgive me. Bring it to my attention so that I can confess it and I can make it right, because I want to be like you. I want to be able to say I'm a Christian. Not just that I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. But just in the simple fact that if you could sit there and say, well, I didn't read my Bible any last week. Then there's no vision in your family. There's no vision in your home. There's no vision in your life. Your family is a family without vision. Your home is a home without vision. Your life is a life without vision, because the vision that we're talking about are the oracles of God, God's word. And when Solomon said, where there is no vision, where there is no proclamation of God's word, he says the people perish. Nations, yes. America is perishing. America is perishing because its churches aren't preaching the Word of God and its believers aren't reading the Word of God, and we have no vision in our church, and we have no vision in our home, and we have no vision in our personal life. We are not going to the Word of God, and we are not letting the Word of God penetrate our hearts and our minds. We're not letting the Word of God direct us and guide us. We have no vision. And where there is no vision, the Bible says, the people. I want you to see the word people. They perish. This word perish is a Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is para. P-A-W-R-A-H or P-A-R-A-H, whatever you want to say. Para. And it's interesting, if you study that word, how many times that word is used and what that word means. The word perish in the Hebrew here, it means to avoid. It means bare. It means to go back. It means to make naked. It means to set at naught. to perish, refuse, or uncover. This word is used and it implies all of these meanings. So when you just read the word perish without a little study, you're thinking, oh, well, they all die. That's not what it necessarily means. Yes, it does mean that, but it doesn't necessarily mean just that. It means that they're made naked. The people are made naked. They're stripped of their ornaments and so exposed to shame, stripped of their armor and so exposed to danger. 2 Chronicles 28:19, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked. The same Hebrew word. He made Judah para. He made Judah perish and transgress sore against the Lord. Exodus chapter 25, 32, verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked or para or perished, for Aaron had made them para, Aaron had made them naked. I want you to know that this means to be naked. It also means to refuse. The people are idle. They play as the scholars are apt to do when the master is absent. You know, when I was a teacher, when I was a student even more, if a teacher walked out of the room, that's when the fun began. Right? Now, it may not be that way anymore because of video cameras, but before video cameras, teachers, the only time a teacher knew what you were doing outside the classroom when they weren't in there is if there was a tattletale. And we found that person after school. But, you know, when the teacher walks out of the room, all of a sudden, the book learning stops. The paper wads fly, the paper airplanes fly. If you have a straw, the spit wads fly. You know, the talking starts. And then it turns into a roar. That's what happens when the teacher walks out of the room. This is what happens if there's no vision. People become idle. God's not here. They act how they want. Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Para it not. Perish it not. It also means to go back. They are scattered as sheep, having no shepherd. They are scattered from God. They go back to where they were. They are perishing. Some of you that are believers, you've not been in the Word of God, and you're wondering why you are struggling, and you keep going back to the swine. You keep going back to the pig pen of life. You keep going back to the vomit that the dogs keep eating up, the Bible says, and we keep returning. Why, God? I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but why do I keep going back to the swine? Why do I keep going backward? Why do I keep perishing? It's because you don't have vision. You're not using the Word of God. It's not vision in your heart. It's not vision in your life. There's no vision in your family. There's no vision in your home. God forbid that there not be vision here at this church. We want to use this as an oracle from preaching. Well, if you bless God, if the preacher gets up there and he preaches against outside the Word of God, then that's a wrong church. Absolutely right. If I get up here and I preach something that's contrary to Scripture, I should be ran out of this church. I'd be the first one to chase me. I don't ever want to go against Scripture. I don't ever want this pulpit not to have the preaching of the Word of God, the vision of the Word of God. But we talk about churches like that. Oh, that church down there, they used to have real hot, firing preaching, but they let that go. Now they're allowing this and this and this. And we make fun of that church, and our homes are the exact same way, and we don't say a word about it. We're hypocrites. I want you to have 20/20 vision. And then it does mean the word perish. It means perish. It means to avoid the things of God. It means to perish or be destroyed. They perish. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Friend, all the definitions we have just mentioned lead to a miserable and wasted life. It's a life that is perished. When we hear not the preaching of the Word of God, we are stripped naked of His glory, and we're stripped naked from the armor of God. We're stripped from His protection. will perish. When we hear not the preaching of the Word of God, we are wasting our life, not truly living, but perishing. When we hear not the preaching of the Word of God, we allow ourselves to go back to where the swine feed. When we hear not the preaching of the Word of God, we rebel against God and avoid His purpose for our life, which is perishing on earth. And of course, when we hear not the preaching of the Word of God, we will have a destroyed life. It will be evident. And there will be many souls that will be lost because there's no vision in our hearts. There's no vision in our homes. There's no vision in our lives. There's no vision in our church. And where there is no vision, the people do perish. Not just you and me and our family members, but there are people that will never understand or experience the wonderful truth of salvation because we are lacklustered. There's nothing that they desire to have in our life. I know that we were talking about this, and I won't give detail. Of course I wouldn't. We were just talking about this last night at prayer meeting. We were talking about how certain testimonies of certain people that claim to be Christian have probably kept certain neighbors and family members lost because they're hypocrites. Would my neighbors not want to be saved because of me? That guy, he's a preacher. Man, he's a terrible neighbor. Horrible attitude all the time. Angry and screaming and yelling. Foul mouthed. He's a hypocrite. I'm better than him. And they're right. I'm just better off. But they're better than me. Would that be a testimony at my home? Would it be a testimony at your home? Would your neighbors, your co-workers want what you have? You say, well, I don't think so. You know why? There's no vision. This hasn't become real to you and me. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But there's good news. Don't want to leave a bad news. There's good news. We don't have to perish. Everything that we just said about perishing won't apply if we listen and obey the Word of God and have vision. You sit there and say, well, I don't know what to do. 2020? Read your Bible. Read it. Just don't put it on your coffee table until Sunday morning. Read it. Pick it up. Read it. Make it a goal to read one more verse this week than you did last week. Well, I didn't read any. That's one more verse than you did last week. That's fine with me. Hey, I just want you to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. You don't go to the gym and start benching 300 pounds. You start with a bar. And I'm not sitting there asking you people that have never read your Bible to sit there and read seven chapters a day. I'm not even asking you to read it in a year. That would be a great opportunity for you to do it. You can do it if you read about four and a half chapters a day. You can read through the Bible in a year. But that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying read it. Well, I only read it three or four times a day. Make it a goal to read it every day. Everybody in here can make it that goal. I just want to be realistic. If you're not reading, read it. And then before you read it, say, Dear God, I'm fixing to read your word. I have no idea what Deuteronomy is going to tell me. Show me something. Give me something. He will. Maybe people don't ask because they're afraid he will, but he will. Listen, I just want us to have vision. Finally, I want us to see the word. I want us to see the word law. We have vision, we have people, and we have the law. The Bible says the law is to be kept. We need to keep the word of God. We need to keep the commandments of the Word of God. We need to know them, and we need to practice them. They're to be followed. Too many times we decide to do what we want or what we feel is right when it goes contrary to the Word of God, and we need to stop that. We need to have revival in our hearts, and we need to say, you know what? God is my final authority. This Word is going to teach me how to live, and many times they might be okay. Sometimes, you know, I do things, and I don't even think about the Word of God, and I'm okay doing them. I'm like, well, it wasn't bad, and it wasn't, but maybe it's not what God wanted me to do. But sometimes I'm okay, and then there's sometimes I'm not okay. I just want to be in the Word of God. I want to do what's right. We need to keep the Word of God. We need to hide it in our hearts, because listen to what the passage of Scripture say. The passage of Scripture says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want you to be happy. I want for you and for me, I want 2020 to be the happiest year of our lives. But here's what's even better than that. God wants you and me to be happy. He wants us to be happy. How many of you like to be happy? You don't have to raise your hand. I think everybody would. No, I like to be miserable. Well, you're a special kind of somebody. Everybody wants to be happy, and God wants you and me to be happy. But see, the devil tricks us. Boy, he is good at tricking me. Nathan, here's where happiness lies. And I'm like, boy, that does look pretty good. Have you ever ate something that looked really, really good to find out that it wasn't? That's really disappointing. You should never do that to somebody. But the devil does that all the time. I like these old sayings, and I've used them before. You know, all the devil's apples have worms. Well, that looks good. You ever bitten into an apple and saw a worm? Some of you are like, well, hey, I just eat around it. Not me. I see a worm, I don't want another apple ever. The worst thing about finding a worm in your apple is finding half a worm in your apple. Listen. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Folks, for 2020, here's what I want for you, for me. Here's what I want for my family. Here's what I want for your family. Here's what I want for my life. Here's what I want from your life. Here's what I want for Victory Baptist Church. I want us to have vision. I want us to be in the Word of God. I want it to be more real to us this year than it's ever been real before. I want us to hide it in our hearts. I want us to have vision, and I want us to be happy. And if you and I, no matter what the circumstances are around you, well, you don't understand, Pastor Nathan. My children are doing this, this, and this. No, you don't understand, Pastor Nathan. My husband or my wife is doing this, this, and this. You don't understand, Pastor Nathan. I have this health issue, this health issue. I'm just telling you, all of that can be a problem, but it doesn't have to destroy your happiness. Because God says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. It doesn't say he that keepeth the law and has a really good family. He that keepeth the law and has really good health. He that keepeth the law and is... got a lot of money in the bank. He that keepeth the law and has no bills. He that keepeth the law and has a really good job. It doesn't say any of that. It said, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want us to have 2020 vision. I want you and me, I want us to be in the Word of God. I want us to read it. I want us to hide it in our hearts. I want us to apply it. It's the most precious physical thing you own. Cherish it. Love it. That's what you and me need to do. That's what you and I need to do in 2020.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.